morning. My name's Amanda. I'm part of the team here at CFC, and I am delighted to be able to continue in our series of spiritual gifts. Over the autumn period, we've been digging into what the Word has to tell us about gifts that are given to us as the body of Christ, and how those gifts function in each one of us. That's right, each one of us, to build up and to unify the body of Christ, which Jesus Christ is the head of. And over this week and next week, we're going to be looking at a particular passage found in Ephesians 4, which will kind of dig into what is often known as the fivefold ministry, or apest. And these are five gifts that are given to the church by Jesus himself. They're known as the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. And they're often referred to as offices, or given as titles in some ways. But as we read in Scripture, they are gifts that are given to the body. And so this week I'm going to be looking a little bit at apostles and evangelists, and then Charlotte's going to be continuing with the other three next week. But let's have a look at the passage that we find these five offices in, because it's really easy just to take the verse out of in its context on its own. And it's verse 11, which says that so Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and just take that as an isolated situation and say, right, there's five offices or five titles that Jesus has given, and therefore they are this, 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 and this, and this. But like all good scholars of Scripture, and as you will know from being in CFC for so long, it's so important that we look at the full context of where this verse is found, and what it actually means, and why did Jesus give these gifts, and what will these gifts do for the church? So if you have your Bibles open, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? And he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part. It's an incredible passage. Like, Paul uses this imagery of the body in various parts of his teaching, and in particular in relation to the gifts that we find in the church. And again, he refers to us as a body that is made up of many parts. And I think as we approach this topic of these five gifts in particular, it's really important to realize that each one of us has been gifted and graced by Jesus through his Spirit with gifts. Each one of us has a calling, a plan, and a purpose within the body of Christ. And there is not one of us that has a role or a function that is more important or should be held in higher esteem than everyone else. Scripture clearly teaches us that each one of us is valuable in the role that we have. Any of this notion of roles or gifting having higher authority or having more influence comes from our own fallenness and sinfulness. We have this tendency to compare and contrast, to look at others and think, oh, if only I had their gift, I wish I could be more like them, or their gift seems to have more influence or is more visible. But Scripture clearly teaches us that each one of us has value exactly as we are, that not one of us was created by accident, that God has a plan and a purpose and has equipped each one of us with the gifts that are right and perfect for us, and also that there's opportunity because the Spirit lives in us and moves within us for us to avail of many of the gifts that are available to the body of Christ. Some people will know that they have a clear gifting in a specific area, but for others, there could be opportunities and times when they will minister in one type of gifting because that's the gift that's needed in that moment. And then there'll be other opportunities when another gift rises up within them as the Spirit sees fit. And so as we teach this morning and over this and next week, I don't want you to be looking at these five offices or gifts in a way that kind of goes, oh, well, they are better or they are higher. They are a gift to the body that has a function and a purpose, just as the gift that each one of us has. And we see that in this passage because the start of this passage starts off with this call to unity, a unity in the Spirit. And it's teaching us that how we live out our Christian faith, how we live out our gifts in the body with one another is really important. How we behave and what we speak, the unity has to be the clear goal and the purpose of who we are and what we do. And why is that? Paul explains it so clearly here because of the singleness of the Christian faith. He talks about how there is only one body, there is one Spirit, there is one hope, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. The Bible teaches us that there is only one way to know God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's this singleness about the Christian faith that makes it unique in so many ways. And the body, the church, is part of that singleness. And that's complicated because we are all individuals and we make up that body. And that's why it gets really messy at times. That's why it gets really complicated because all of us, in the fullness of our giftings and the passions that God has put in us and the desire to see the thing that's really important to us, that we are passionate about, worked out in the body, can sometimes cause conflict, can sometimes cause us rubbing up against one another. But Paul is calling us here to this spirit of unity because we work best when we work together as one with Christ at our head. And so as we understand this basis for how the spiritual gifts function in us as a body, we also have to hold that tension of the challenge of how we are all different and unique in our calling. Like most of us sitting in here on a Sunday morning, I'm sure as you think about, I'm just going to use this as an example, like a Sunday service. I have a heart and a passion for evangelism. So my lens on a Sunday service is, how does the visitor feel? Are we clearly communicating the gospel? Are we giving people an opportunity to respond? Someone who has a heart and a passion for worship will be thinking things like, why is the worship being interrupted? Why are we not allowing more time to flow? We should have more worship at the end. We should extend the amount of, are people worshiping or just singing songs? People who have a passion for hospitality and welcome will be like, the welcome has to be the most important thing in the service. How people feel when they walk in that door. And if we all come with our passions and go, look, no, my way is more important than your way, that's where we see the tension and the conflict. But the beauty of the body is that we can all work together because our common goal is to glorify Jesus Christ. And when we bring our gifting into this space with this common goal of unity, because unity then speaks of this oneness, this body that demonstrates and proclaims the goodness of God and the beauty of Jesus Christ, who is our head. And so that's the tension that we hold. But into the middle of this, we read that Christ himself gives these five gifts. And I think as we explore what these five gifts look like, we'll see how these five gifts function in a way that enables all of those individual giftings and all of the uniqueness of who we are to come together in a way that promotes unity and builds up the body of Christ. That's what the function of these five gifts is. Verse 12 tells us that they are given to equip the people for service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Equipping the people, building up the church, with what result? So that we can have unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus and a maturity that ensures that we're not easily deceived, that we're not pulled and swayed by the culture that surrounds us, that we're not easily deceived by false teachers, but instead we grow together and we flourish and we work together so that Jesus might be known and that the impact of Jesus can be known in our own lives, in our families, in our communities, and right across the places that we occupy. So why these three gifts, or these five gifts in particular? Like, why these five and not others that we've already looked at? I kind of propose that these five gifts are an extension and a continuation of Jesus' ministry. I think you see these five gifts really clearly in the ministry of Jesus. And we know that Jesus was sent by God to earth to show people and to reveal God the Father to others. And that when he left, he commissioned us as the body of Christ, the church, to continue the mission. And so there, it makes sense, doesn't it, that in his impartation to us, that his gift to us as the body would be gifts that are the same as the gifts that he ministered in, so that we could continue the work of Jesus as we continue to function as his body here on earth. Jesus was the chief apostle. In Hebrews 3 and verse 1, it tells us that he is the one who was sent, but he is also the one who sends. He is the one who sent out the 12 apostles directly, giving them authority to move and function in his name. He was the chief prophet. We see prophecy right across Jesus' ministry. One beautiful example is Jesus with the woman at the well in Samaria, when he speaks to her and he calls out what's been going on in her past and her present, and she acknowledges him as a prophet. He is the great shepherd. He himself, in identifying himself through the I ams of Scripture, says, "I am the good shepherd." He was the chief evangelist. He called people to repentance. He called them to a place where their sins could be forgiven and where they could enter into a relationship with God the Father. And he was also the great teacher. You need to read the red letters of the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount. What a masterclass in teaching. And so these five gifts, these five functions of ministry that we see in the characteristics of Jesus Christ himself, he gives to us, the church, in order for us to be able to continue the mission, to ensure that people are found knowing about who he is and who God is, to ensure that everybody can understand that Jesus was sent by God so that they can come into relationship with him, that through him they can have forgiveness of sins and they can enter into the church and be part of the body like us and live in the fullness of who they are called and created to be. And so all of these gifts Jesus imparts to the church. He's writing the DNA of himself into his body. And he's essentially giving the church something of himself so that we can be like him. And again, I want to emphasize that it's really important that you know that these gifts are available for everyone. They should be seen and they should be evident in the leadership of the church. But that doesn't mean that they can't exist outside of the leadership of the church. They are given as the Lord apportions them. So let's have a look this morning at apostles and evangelists in particular. apostles comes first in the list. And even in Corinthians, when Paul is listing some of the gifts, he says that the gift of the apostle is given first. And when we think of apostles, we automatically go to the 12 apostles. We think of the disciples, and we also think of Paul, who Jesus revealed himself to on the road of Damascus. These early apostles, these were the first ones that were sent out by Jesus, who was the first apostle. And it's important to note that there are unrepeatable aspects of their function and ministry that we don't see in the church today. There are things they witnessed that we haven't. I mean, the apostles in those early days were chosen specifically and personally by Jesus. He called them by name. And many of them were witnesses to his resurrection, his death and resurrection. And in some circles, there will be teaching that says that there isn't room for the function of the apostle because there is no one alive today who has that unique experience of Jesus. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is teaching where other people are called apostles. There's other mentions of people who function as apostles. And so I believe that this demonstrates that the gift of being an apostle is still available for those who didn't have that unique experience of Jesus Christ. Some examples of that would be the apostle James. Galatians 1 and 19 calls him as an apostle. Barnabas is described as an apostle. Andronicus and Junias in Romans 16 are also described as apostles, just to name but a few. But the gift of apostle, and I think it's one of those ones that we kind of wrestle with a little bit because there's no clear definition in Scripture that kind of goes, an apostle is, and here's the functions of it. So I think the best way to understand what the gifting of an apostle is by looking at those who function as an apostle in the Scriptures and also in our current context, and look at what happens in the spaces that they occupy. Ephesians 2 and 19 to 20 talks about how the apostles are the foundation of the church, that God has built his household on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being his key cornerstone. And so the apostles are foundational in church building, church growth, and in church planting. Three key characteristics that I want to highlight this morning are this, that there is a pioneering element to an apostle. There's something about the gift of apostle that enables them to go out and expand beyond normal circumstances, to break new ground and to make space where it doesn't seem that there is a space. And we see this in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, how incredible that this story of Jesus that's so centered within Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, all of a sudden, within so many years, explodes across the then known world. Because the apostles who were sent out by Jesus go and break new ground, bringing the word and the message, functioning in signs and wonders and seeing people converted, but not just converted, but building churches and establishing communities within the spaces that they are visiting. And then after that, continuing to keep relationship with those people, sending letters, sending helpers, sending other ministers to come alongside them and to build them up. So there's this picture of a pioneer, someone who goes out, who is sent out, who functions from a space but also occupies a different space in order to see the kingdom come. And that's the second kind of really key characteristic, is this kingdom-focused mindset. This mindset of that whatever happens in heaven can happen here on earth. Lord, let your kingdom come as it is in heaven here on earth. To see the fullness of what God and what Christ has done function in our everyday ordinary. To see landscape change, to see communities change, to see homes and families changed and impacted because of the fullness of who God is and how his kingdom works here on earth. This desire to see any opposition kind of obliterated in the way. If you know any apostles or you know of anyone with an apostolic ministry, they are single-minded and they are focused. It's like, you can bring me all of the problems, but I will find you a way through. Like, there's a missional kind of mindset to what they do and how they function. And I think as well, as part of that, there's also this gifting that gives them an insight, a spiritual insight into what God is doing and meeting him in that place. That they don't just, they're not like just some maverick who goes off and is like, there's an unknown place, I'm just going to go and conquer. It's like, God, what are you doing? Where are you working and where are you functioning? And how can I meet you in that place and create a space for your church to grow and flourish and bring others with me on that journey? So those three key kind of characteristics of being a pioneer, having this mindset of overcoming and this kingdom focus to meet God in the places that he occupies. And I suppose if we then draw that into current context, one of the things that we've done as we've kind of looked at these as offices is that we've gained insight and wisdom from people who are functioning in that. And so some of you might know Alan Emerson. Well, Alan Emerson is the senior pastor, lead pastor at Emmanuel Lurgan, and is also the leader of the Tabar Network, which is an apostolic leadership. It's a network that pulls together churches and missional communities and houses of prayer across Ireland with shared values to see the kingdom of God come across this island. And the leadership team within that is apostolic, and Alan has that apostolic anointing on his life. And so I'd love to just read to you some of the key things that he has identified in the gifting of the apostle. Alan says this. He says, "The apostle proclaims the kingdom and plants churches. They layer foundations and ensure that this DNA of the gospel and the gathered people is staying true to the faith of the church and its traditions. The apostle is a master builder, an architect that lays the foundation, bringing wisdom and vision and setting up organizational frameworks so that the church can grow and flourish. Many apostles have a breakthrough mentality. They see signs and wonders following their ministry. They see the problem and often come with a solution. Apostles carry an authority over a field of influence in which the body of churches are placed under their care. The gift can often be seen as transcultural. It could include missionaries and church planters, those who are called to start new ministries, or those who have a very profound spiritual influence beyond their own ministry context. An apostle's gifts should not be authenticated by personal prestige or position, but a life committed to suffering for the gospel, as all of the apostles that we read about in the New Testament suffered and bore the marks of Jesus on their body." Let's just take a moment to pause and reflect. Maybe you just want to close your eyes. And I suppose I just want to challenge you in this moment. Is this the gift that you function in? Do you see hallmarks of this gift on your life? And perhaps the Holy Spirit's nudging you right now to say this is something that you need to explore further, that you need to step into. At the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity for us to pray with you if you believe that that is a gift that is on your life or a gift that you think God's nudging you towards. So I would encourage you to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you in this moment. And you might just stay there. You might just stay there right now. You might just stay in this moment of considering the apostles. But let's move on to the other gift that we want to think about this morning, which is the gift of the evangelist. This is where I feel at home, okay? This is where I feel like, yeah, I can talk about this. My ministry context is evangelism, and I am married to an evangelist. And I suppose that in some ways, like we look at some of the giftings, that there is this gifting in the church for a specific outworking of a gifting. For example, maybe prophecy, that some will prophesy, but some are also called to be prophets. And I think you see that with the gift and this office of an evangelist, that we are called as a body to be evangelists, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But there are some that have an office and a space that they occupy that has a different type of authority. And I think that there is a responsibility on each one of us. I think the word evangelism has been given bad press, if I'm really honest. I think that most people, when they hear the word evangelism or evangelist, will automatically conjure up a picture or a story or a persona in their mind. But actually, the work of the evangelist is very broad, and there is much involved in it. And each one of us has a responsibility to do evangelism at some level as part of the church. We are each called to bear witness to our own lives that have been transformed by Jesus Christ. Each one of us are called to speak and to live out our faith in a way that points others to Jesus. People should see something in us that makes them go, what's different about them? Why is that different? And how can I find out more? Not everyone is called to be the reaper in a kind of gardening sense, that there is this sense of where we sow seeds, where as we live, we are sowing seeds into the lives of the people that we do life with. But there will be moments when someone with an anointing at a specific moment will say, would you like to respond? Would you like to put your trust in Jesus? And so at different points on the journey, we all can have an influence on people's spiritual progression. We're all commissioned. We're all sent by Jesus. And we all should live lives that point towards him. And again, the evangelist that functions in this specific kind of gifting or office that we read about in Ephesians 4 has a different weight, I suppose, to the role, in that they are someone who persistently lives out and functions in evangelism regularly, consistently, over a long period of time, and that they have recognition as being a leader or someone who leads within that space. Interestingly, the word evangelist only appears 3 times in the New Testament. 3 occasions. The first one that we come across is in the book of Acts. Luke writes about an evangelist called Philip. And it's a really interesting Bible study to do, is to go and look at the function of Philip. And what you will see is that Philip wasn't just an evangelist in the traditional sense of he preached the words, he gave people an opportunity to respond, and people came to faith. Philip's ministry was so varied, and I think that the fact that Luke calls him an evangelist is putting a spotlight on him to say, this is the variety and the breadth of work and ministry that you see within the function of an evangelist. For example, Philip is one of those who was appointed to distribute food in the first food bank that we read about in Acts chapter 8. He then was one who went about preaching the word in chapter 21 and verse 5. And then we were told about how many were added to his number as they believed in his preaching. We also see signs and wonders following his ministry. We see him involved in the baptism of new converts. We see him encountering the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way as the Holy Spirit brings him to the Ethiopian eunuch who's in the desert. We see him opening and revealing the word of God and showing who Jesus is through the prophetic words that have been given through scripture. We see him baptizing this convert, and then we see him going about preaching in many towns as he traveled, a very itinerant kind of feel to his ministry. But then we read of Paul visiting Philip the evangelist, who had settled in Caesarea, and he's providing hospitality for Paul in his home with his daughters who also prophesy. So he's settled down and he has a family. There's just this wide picture of what evangelism looks like in the life of Philip as he goes about his ministry. The second place we see it is in Timothy, 2 Timothy verse 4 to 5. The word evangelist is used by Paul as he kind of exhorts Timothy, this young pastor, to do the work of an evangelist. And he's not saying to Timothy, I know you're a pastor, but it's better to be an evangelist. just give it up, be an evangelist. He's saying, no, in your gifting as a pastor, ensure that you're doing the work of evangelist. Make sure that people know about Jesus. Make sure that you're communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're leading people into a relationship with God. He's encouraging them, and I think that's a beautiful picture because it leads nicely into this third place where we see the evangelist mentioned in Ephesians 4 in these five gifts. The evangelist found as a gift to the body of Christ to equip and exhort and to bring together for unity. We often think of the evangelist as the one who's outside of the church, the one who's out there with all of those who don't know about Jesus. But the function of the evangelist is rooted within the community of the church. Equipping, teaching, encouraging, and inspiring others to be fully who God has called and created them to be in a way that tells the story of Jesus. An evangelist that I obviously know is my husband, Mitch. Together, as part of a leadership team, we head up an organization called Crown Jesus Ministries. And our heart and passion is to make Jesus known across the island of Ireland, ensuring that everybody has heard the gospel and has the opportunity to respond to it. And Mitch was asked to reflect on his role as an evangelist, and I'd love to read to you what he had to say about that. He said, "Today I find myself in County Kildare. Inside, our team continue to film a resource, and I sit and reflect on my role as an evangelist. What a joy it is to see Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Assemblies of God, Apostolic and Independent churches unite in evangelism in Kildare. That's what we do in Crown Jesus. We help to make the gospel known through the body of Christ in partnership with the local church. Today, I didn't preach on the streets. I wasn't on the streets, and I have no report of people responding to the gospel. Yet today I'm no less an evangelist than I have been any other day. The gift of the evangelist is a gift to the church, a threefold gift to equip God's people, to build up his church, and to reach the lost. What a joy and honor it is to serve the church and see God's people unite in the mission of God." Let's just take a moment to pause and reflect. Do you have a passion to make Jesus known to those that you do life with? Is there a compulsion within you to tell others about Jesus? Do you get frustrated when you see people shying away from sharing their faith? Maybe this morning you recognize the gift of evangelism and the evangelist in your life. Maybe you know with certainty that that's what you're called to. And again, we'd love to pray with you at the end and just endorse and pray over you finding space to be able to function in that way within the body. Or maybe this morning you're just kind of going, I recognize some of that. And again, would love to pray with you at the end. But just as we kind of draw this morning and our thoughts to a close, I want to finish with this. It's a warning, because the danger is, and as we look at these gifts and titles, that we start to put people on pedestals. We start to see some of this gifting as more important or with greater levels of authority than maybe the gift that you have. And don't get me wrong, there are gifts that function with great weight and responsibility to them, and we read about that in Scripture. But again, I want to remind you this morning that your place is so important in the body of Christ. That your gifting is valuable and vital in how it plays out. And that these five gifts and offices that we've talked about this morning should help all of us to grow and to be built up and encouraged in our gifting, to find space to be fully who we are within this body so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. As we worshiped this morning, I was just like, And thank you, Chris and the team, for leading us in worship. But I was just completely blown away by the majesty of Jesus Christ. Like, he is the head of the body. All of this is for him. Like, there is no other name than the name of Jesus. There is no one that is more deserving of all honor and praise and glory. There is no one that your eyes should be fixed on and that you should have a desire to be more like than Jesus Christ. I mean, don't get distracted by the giftings of others, but instead this morning, come and submit yourself once again to him who is the head of the body. Submit yourself fully to him and allow the gifting that he has placed in you to flourish and grow for the benefit of all. He is the only one. That's why we do it. And so the responsibility and the weight that we have as we carry our gifting into this communal space is great. But in full submission to him who is the head, the one who is above all things, the one who is works in and through all things, something absolutely beautiful comes out of it. And that itself is a beautiful witness and testimony to the watching world. They see how we love one another. They see how we function in unity. And they want something from that. As the band just come up, let's just stand together as we just take a moment to respond. Let's stand. And I'd love at this moment just to invite the prayer ministry team forward. So during this next moment of worship, there'll be an opportunity for our prayer ministry team to pray for you. So if you feel that you're just like a real nudge from the Holy Spirit this morning to say, like, this is for you, this is something I want you to explore, come and allow us to pray for you. Maybe you're already confidently ministering in one of those two giftings that we've talked about. But again, we'd love to pray for you and encourage you. Or maybe you're just in a place where you're going, like, I just don't know. Well, we would love to pray for clarity for you to figure out what it is that God has called you to and how you can function best within his beautiful body. Let's just pray as we go into worship. Father God, I thank you that you gave us the ultimate gift, which was your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that he is our head, and that as we submit to him as his body today, Lord, we know that as you work in us and through us by the strength and authority and power of your Holy Spirit, that you do something incredibly beautiful amongst our community. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful gifts that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for each and every person in this room, for each person in Cafe Church, for each person online who is watching this. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, that you have gifted them and that you have anointed them for purpose. And I pray, Lord, for a revelation this morning of exactly what it is that you've called them into. Lord, would you fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit this morning? Would you empower us? Would you embolden us? Would you give us courage to live fully for you? And just as we are just in this moment of response, perhaps you're here this morning and you're like, I don't even know Jesus. And I would love to be part of this body, this community, and find my purpose and identity in him. And you can do that this morning. We would love to pray with you if you'd love to put your faith in Jesus, or maybe you've been away from him for a while and love to recommit. Please come forward. I'd love to pray for you personally this morning.